sails billowing, timbers creaking, water spraying high from her prow, thrice lucky, leaped across the swells with the grace of a dancer. All the multitude of sounds blended together in a musical chorus, both invigorating and inspiring, and it occurred to young Captain Maimon that if he had hired a band of musicians to rouse his crew, their work would add little to the natural music all around them. The chase was on, and every man and woman aboard felt it and heard it. Maimon stood forward and starboard, holding fast to a guide rope, his brown hair waving in the wind, his black shirt half unbuttoned and flapping refreshingly and noisily, bouncing out enough to show a tar-black scar across the left side of his chest. "They are close," came a woman's voice from behind him, and Maimon half turned to regard over-wizard Arabeth Rorim, mistress of the South Tower.
"Your magic tells you so."
"Can't you feel it?" the woman answered, and gave a coy toss of her head so that her waist-length red hair caught the wind and flipped back behind her. Her blouse was as open as Maimon's shirt, and the young man couldn't help but look admiringly at the alluring creature. He thought of the previous night, and the night before that, and before that as well, of the whole enjoyable journey. Arabeth had promised him a wonderful and exciting sail, in addition to the rather large sum she'd offered for her passage, and Maimon couldn't honestly say that she'd disappointed him. She was around his age, just past 30, intelligent, attractive, sometimes brazen, sometimes coy, and just enough of each to keep Maimon and every other man around her off balance and keenly interested in pursuing her. Arabeth knew her power well, and Maimon knew that she knew it, but still he couldn't shake himself free of her. Arabeth stepped up beside him and playfully brushed her fingers through his thick hair. He glanced around quickly, hoping none of the crew had seen, for the action only accentuated that he was quite young to be captaining a ship, and that he looked even younger. His build was slight, wiry yet strong, his features boyish and his eyes a delicate light blue. While his hands were calloused, like those of any honest seaman, his skin had not yet taken on the weathered, leathery look of a man too much under the sparkling sun. Arabeth dared to run her hand under the open fold of his shirt, her fingers dancing across his smooth skin to the rougher place where skin and tar had melded together, and it occurred to Maimon that he typically kept his shirt open just a bit more, for exactly the reason of revealing a hint of that scar, that badge of honor, that reminder to all around that he had spent most of his life with a blade in his hand.
"You are a paradox," Arabeth remarked, and Maimon merely smiled. "Gentle and strong, soft and rough, kind and merciless, an artist and a warrior. With your lute in hand you sing with the voice of the sirens, and with your sword in hand you fight with the tenacity of a drow weapons master."
"You find this off-putting?"
Arabeth laughed.
"I would drag you to your cabin right now," she replied, "but they are close."
As if on cue, and Maimon was certain Arabeth had used some magic to confirm her prediction before she'd offered it, a crewman from the crow's nest shouted down,
"Sails! Sails on the horizon!"
"Two ships," Arabeth said to Maimon.
"Two ships!"
the man in the nest called down.
"Sea Sprite and Quelch's Folly," said Arabeth, "as I told you when we left Luskan."
Maimon could only chuckle helplessly at the manipulative wizard. He reminded himself of the pleasures of the journey and of the hefty bag of gold awaiting its completion. He thought, too, in terms bitter and sweet, of Sea Sprite and Dudermont, his old ship, his old captain.
"Aye, Captain, that's Argus Wretch, or I'm the son of a barbarian king and an orc queen,"
Waylon McCanty said. He winced as he finished, reminding himself of the cultured man he served. He scanned Dudermont head to toe, from his neatly trimmed beard and hair to his tall and spotless black boots. The captain showed more gray in his hair, but still not much for a man of more than 50 years, and that only made him appear more regal and impressive.
"A bottle of the finest wine for Domas Shearing Vale, then," Dudermont said in a light tone that put McKenty back at ease. "Against all of my doubts, the information you garnered from him was correct, and we've finally got that filthy pirate before us." He clapped McKenty on the back and glanced back over his shoulder and up to Sea Sprite's wizard, who sat on the edge of the poop deck, his skinny legs dangling under his heavy robes. "And soon in range of our catapult," Dudermont added loudly, catching the attention of the mage, Robillard. "If our resident wizard there can get the sails straining."
"Cheat to win," Robillard replied, and with a dramatic flourish he waggled his fingers, the ring that allowed him control over a fickle air elemental, sending forth another mighty gust of wind that made Sea Sprite's timbers creak.
"I grow weary of the chase," Dudermont retorted, his way of saying that he was eager to finally confront the beastly pirate he pursued.
"Less so than I," the wizard replied.
Dudermont didn't argue that point, and he knew that the benefit of Robillard's magic filling the sails was mitigated by the strong following winds. In calmer seas, Sea Sprite could still rush along, propelled by the wizard and his ring, while their quarry would typically flee at a crawl. The captain clapped McKenty on the shoulder and led him to the side in view of Sea Sprite's new and greatly improved catapult. Heavily banded in metal strapping, the dwarven weapon could heave a larger payload. The throwing arm and basket strained under the weight of many lengths of chain laid out for maximum extension by gunners rich in experience.
"How long?" Dudermont asked the sighting officer who stood beside the catapult, spyglass in hand. "We could hit her now with a ball of pitch, mightn't be, but getting the chains up high enough to shred her sails, that'll take another 50 yards closing."
"1 yard for every gust," Dudermont said with a sigh of feigned resignation. "We need a stronger wizard."